This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to use hashtags to build your online audience. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to remind you about my 2020 social media diary and planner. If you haven't heard about it, it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates, it's got awareness days, it's got planning tools so you can create an annual, quarterly, weekly, and daily content plan for your business. And if you buy the diary, we also send you a monthly update. So you'll get additional dates that we didn't know about when the diary went to press. So things like new TV shows, films, books. So you will literally never run out of content ideas again. And if you feel like you need more accountability and support, there's also the Media Diary Owners Club. So if you join the club, you'll also get 4 group coaching calls with me across the year. There's also a content planning class that's happening at the end of November 2019, if you're listening in the future, but you'll also get a recording of that if you end up joining the club a little bit later. And we also will send you a weekly update with some ideas on how you can use some of the key dates and awareness days in the diary. And you'll also get a digital version of the diary too. So if you haven't yet ordered your 2020 social media diary and planner, if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/2020media diary, so that's janetmurray.co.uk/2020media diary, then you can order yours there. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to use hashtags to grow your online audience. But first off, what do we actually mean by hashtags? Well, the best description I've ever heard of this came from Chris Taylor, who is a guest on my podcast on episode 362. And on the episode, he was talking about how to grow your audience on Instagram. And Chris describes hashtags as being like the index in a nonfiction book. So when you pick up a nonfiction book and you look in the back to see the topics that you're most interested in, and that will basically take you to the pages or the sections that are going to be most relevant to you. And that's basically how hashtags work on social media. So as a content creator, if you're using relevant hashtags, then people who are online searching because they want to know about the thing that you're talking about, they're going to find your content because you've clearly given them that index. You've shown them where to find your content and where to find the topics that you're talking about. And you can use hashtags to find content that you're interested in. So if you're interested in connecting with certain kinds of customers or clients, if you're using the hashtags that they're using, then you're going to be able to find them just as if you were picking up a book and looking at the index in the back. So I hope that helps to explain hashtags. I think it's the best description that I've ever heard on it. It's a really, really good way to look at it. So how can you use other people's hashtags to grow your audience? Well, first off, I think looking at hashtags that are relevant to your business or your industry are a great way to just see what kind of content you should be creating for your audience. Now, I've recently been working really hard to build my audience on Instagram. It's not been a platform that I've focused on that much to date, but I recently made a commitment that I was going to go all in on Instagram. I've got a target for the end of the year as to how big I want my audience to be by the end of the year. And as part of my research for implementing a new strategy, and I will talk about that on a future podcast episode, I spent a lot of time looking at the hashtags that my ideal customers and clients are engaging with. And I wasn't just looking to see which hashtags they were engaging with. I was also looking at the content, and I started to see patterns. I started to see particular types of posts, not just in terms of the content and the captions, but also in terms of the layout, the kinds of images that were being used. And that started to give me a sense of the kind of content that I really should be creating on my own feed. So actually looking at the hashtags, the relevant hashtags that your ideal clients or customers are using, can be a great way for you to understand what kind of content you should be creating. And it's really a way to look at your competitors and say those people who are getting more engagement with you on a particular, or more engagement than you, I should say, on a particular platform at the moment, what kind of content are they creating? Hashtags will help you to find that content and have a really close look at what they're doing. That will help you to up your game a lot. It's also a great way for you to just find your ideal customers, your ideal clients or influencers or anyone that you want to connect with, whether you're looking to get booked for speaking gigs or you're looking to collaborate with people. If you can be searching relevant hashtags, you will find the kind of people that you want to connect with. And the great thing about it, and I think this is particularly true on a platform like Twitter, is that most people that you want to connect with, like people that otherwise in the olden days before the internet, you would have had to spend like years like trying to find ways to get in front of them or trying to get them on a phone call. These people are just like one tweet or one social media message away. And I think that's really powerful. So if you, and I would really suggest that you do this, if you are going to create a short list of your ideal customers or clients or influencers or people you want to collaborate with on social media, I wouldn't suggest that you jump straight in and you start messaging them and you start asking them for things, or you start asking them to retweet your content or asking them if they'll come on your podcast or they'll come to your event or whatever it might be. I would suggest that you take more of a softly approach. So if you can find these people through the hashtags that they're using, you can maybe start by liking some of their content. And then the next step might be to retweet or share some of their content. The next step might be to respond to them and start to have a bit of a conversation. And I think as it with any relationship, I think if you're too pushy, if you're too forward, if you try and move things along too soon, people do tend to get a little bit awkward and they tend to spring back. So just treat it like a real life relationship. But hashtags can be a great way for you to find either your ideal customers or clients, people you want to collaborate with in some ways, influencers in your space. It's a great way for you to build those relationships. But you know, there's no need to rush it. So just start by maybe commenting, liking, maybe sharing some of their content, and then you can move on as the relationship progresses to maybe start to ask for what you want. So if you're looking to get somebody on your podcast or to speak at your event, or you know, you actually are interested in working with somebody, then just take your time, build the relationship first. And social media is a great way to do that. It's not called social media for nothing. Another thing that you can do, and this is specifically on Instagram, is you can follow hashtags. So I follow a number of hashtags which I know are used by my ideal customers and clients. And again, that just gives me an idea of what they're really interested in. What topics are they interested in talking about? Like, what kind of style of post do they like? What kind of layout or what kind of look do they like? What are they really engaging with? And so it's a great way for me just to kind of understand them a little bit better. But, and this is a tip that Chris gave actually in episode 362. If I want to take that a step further, what I can also do is to actually to start to engage with people through those hashtags. So one thing that Chris suggests on his podcast episode or that particular interview is that you spend 10, 15 minutes a day before you post your own content on Instagram, that you spend 10 or 15 minutes just liking, commenting, engaging with people who are using popular hashtags in your industry. You spend some time just commenting, just engaging, having conversations. That can be a really great way to grow your following and to really understand the kind of people that you want to connect with. Another way that you can use hashtags is when you're at events. So I've got a live event coming up soon. I've got 2020 sorted. So that's happening on November the 14th and 15th in Northampton in the UK. If you're listening in the future, maybe you've missed it. If not, we're actually sold out. But if not, you may actually be coming along to the event, which is great. But if you've ever been to any of my events, you'll know that we always have at least one hashtag or a number of hashtags. This time it's easy because the event is called 2020 Sorted. And in the lead up to the event, during the event, after the event, I'll be encouraging everyone who's involved in the event in any way to use that particular hashtag. So what that does is it groups together all of the content about the event. So if you're actually a delegate at an event, it can be a great way that people who are following you be like, what's this 2020 Sorted event that you're going to? Like, what's that all about? It's a great way for you to engage, to get people interested in what you're doing, to find out more. And actually, you can use hashtags and get involved even if you're not attending an event. So one thing that I always do in the run-up to my live events is I make sure that people who are not attending but are interested in the content feel really comfortable about engaging on the hashtag and following it and almost using it as their news feed while the event's going on. That can be really, really useful too. The other way that you can use hashtags, and particularly this is particularly true for Twitter, is to get press coverage. So if you've been following me online for a while, you'll know that I started off teaching press and PR, so how to get press coverage. And you may also know that there's a couple of key hashtags that you can use on Twitter where you can basically find journalists who are looking for help with stories, which means that you don't have to pitch yourself into the media. You're just basically responding to requests that journalists have got. So it's a great way to get yourself some media coverage without hiring a PR company or without writing press releases or any of that. So one key one that we have in the UK is journo requests. So journalists who are looking for help on stories that they're working on will say, you know, I'm looking for this type of person to help me in this particular way. So you just need to follow that hashtag, just check in and making sure you're keeping up with what's going on that hashtag. If you're not in the UK, help a reporter out. Harrow, that's another one that might be worth following. It's worth seeing if there are any specific hashtags in your country or your part of the world where journalists are putting out requests, where they're looking for help with stories. It could be a great way to get press coverage without having to invest in a PR company or any other kind of support or spend ages writing press releases. So we've talked about how you can use the hashtags that other people are using to build your online audience. Now I want to talk about how you can use hashtags alongside your own content. So the very first thing that you need to do is make sure that you are choosing relevant hashtags. So this is quite a crude example that I'm going to give you. But let's say that you're posting about Instagram strategy. It's not a good idea, or it wouldn't be a good idea to use a load of hashtags that were to do with fruit smoothies or something like that. And a mistake that sometimes people make is if hashtags are trending, if there's hashtags that are really popular, lots of people are using them, then people will think, oh, I'll just bung that on my post anyway, because lots of people are using that. Actually, that could flag you up as potential spam with social media platforms, because one thing that's really, really important when it comes to the algorithm, we don't know the secrets of how the algorithms actually work, but you know what appears to be the case is that relevancy is really important. So if you're posting about one topic, but all of your hashtags are about something else, the algorithm is probably going to spot that. Best case scenario, your content isn't going to get shown to as many people because it doesn't seem to be relevant. It doesn't seem to be kind of congruent. Worst case scenario would be that your content gets flagged up as spam. So really think about choosing relevant hashtags that are linked to the topic that you're talking about. So I'm going to go through the different platforms and just give you an idea of the optimum number of hashtags that you should be using. So we'll start with Instagram. So Chris Taylor, when he was on the podcast, which is episode 362, if you haven't had a listen, definitely worth going back and having a listen to that one. He said that he'd been testing out lots of different numbers, and for him, the optimum number was about 15 to 20. Actually, I've been testing it out on my own account, and I think that I do best when I use the maximum. So you can use 30 on your grid on Instagram, and you can use up to 10 in stories. So I basically just try and use as many as I possibly can. And Chris explained his hashtag strategy on that episode, and it just blew my mind because I mean, when I think about it now, it's so, so simple, but it was something that I just didn't really get up until that point because Instagram hasn't been one of my main platforms until recently. And what he explained is that it's a little bit like search engine optimization. So when it comes to trying to get a blog post or a podcast episode or a YouTube video found in Google, the last thing that you want to do is to use really, really popular search terms, because if you're using really popular search terms, then you're basically putting yourself up against a lot of competition. And it's actually the same with social media. So if you're using hashtags that are really popular, lots of people are using them, there's like millions of posts on these particular hashtags, the likelihood of your content getting seen is going to be a lot lower. So what Chris suggested is if you have, and I know this is true for lots of my listeners, if you have under 10,000 followers on Twitter, he suggests that actually most of the hashtags that you use are only have 500 to 5K posts. So they're actually really small hashtags. So most of the hashtags that you use fall into that bracket. Then you use some between 5 and 500K, so 5,000 and 500K. Then you use a few that are 100 to 500K, 100,000, I should say, to 500K. And you only use a few 500,000 to a million. And that's just in case, as Chris explained in the episode, your post goes viral. Now, this is actually, it's quite a difficult thing to explain without seeing it. If you're in my Build Your Online Audience program, I actually shot a video and put it in the group to show you how this works because it can help to see it visually. But basically, if you follow a particular hashtag on Instagram, you'll see that there's two tabs. So there's one tab for the top performing posts in that hashtag. And then there's a second tab, which is for the most recent ones. And your aim for the hashtags that you're using is basically to get to the top. Because if you can get into like the top nine, if you can be in that top nine grid, then more people are going to see when they're searching through the hashtags, more people are going to see your post, more people are going to go over and have a look and see what you're talking about and follow you. So I've been working really hard on my Instagram strategy recently. I'm going to record a whole episode on this for you. But I've really been working to use, I started off using really, really tiny hashtags. And as my content has started to get more traction, so I started off using like mostly like under 5,000 hashtags. as my content is starting to get more traction, I'm starting to use more and more bigger hashtags. And actually recently I've had some of mine showing up in top in the 500,000 to a million mark, which seems amazing. In fact, I think I had one of my posts showing up in a hashtag that had 3 million posts on it. So you can see actually with a little bit of hard work and strategy, you can actually game the system quite quickly. It's not gaming the system actually, it's just about, you know, making sure that your content gets seen by the right people. But I have had to work kind of really, really hard on that. And the way Chris explains it is that how the algorithm works, or certainly how we understand it works, is that it's almost like a game of dominoes. So you need to topple the smaller hashtags first. If you try and post all of your content in these really big hashtags where there's loads of competition, there's just so much competition, your stuff isn't going to get seen. But if you can start to rise to the top of the smaller hashtags, then Instagram will see that and go, okay, this person is posting some quite interesting, relevant content because they're actually rising to the top of these small hashtags. So when they're using the bigger hashtags, we'll show their content to more people. And that's certainly how we understand it. It works. It's like a domino effect. So it does require patience. It does require sort of starting small, not expecting too much of yourself to start with. But I've seen even just in a few months how I was not showing up even in like really tiny hashtags. And now say, I've recently just had a post that showed up in a massive hashtag with 3 million posts on it. So it definitely is worth doing it. If you're in my Build Your Online Audience program, I know it can be hard to see this without visualizing it. So someone asked me a question about it and actually recorded a little video. And if you are in my Build Your Online Audience program, that's the kind of thing that I will do for you. If somebody asks a question quite specifically about a platform that you can't quite get your head around, I can shoot a quick video in response and have you up and running in a second. So that's how to find out how your hashtags are performing. People also ask me on Instagram, they ask me, where's the best place to put hashtags? From what I understand, it doesn't really matter. You can put them in the main body along with your caption. You can put them in the comments. I've seen no difference on my account by doing both, but you know, try it out on your account and see. So let's move on now to Twitter. So I think a current recommendation is that you use about 2 or 3 hashtags. And I think that kind of makes sense because, or a maximum of 2 or 3 hashtags, because Twitter only has a character count of 280. So if you're using all of your character count on hashtags, then you're not going to be able to say very much. LinkedIn is a really interesting one, actually, because the current advice, I think, from most experts is to use about 2 or 3 hashtags. I think it's really fair to say that hashtags aren't really very well understood on LinkedIn at the moment. It's not like they're new. There have been some quite big changes made around them this year. But I think it's very difficult to get information on LinkedIn about what are the most popular hashtags and also about how it's helping. Personally, I don't think I've ever searched up a hashtag on LinkedIn to find content that I'm interested in. But clearly, some people do, and LinkedIn are interested in people doing that. So it can be quite difficult to get data on which are the best ones to use. So I'm going to direct you to a piece of content that I think might help. So an Instagram expert called Andy Foote, he's created a list of the 100 best performing LinkedIn hashtags. And I'll link to that in the show notes. You can go and have a look at that. Something that happened recently, actually, lots of people were asking me about is some people were like, I'm really excited because their LinkedIn hashtags, they were trending in particular hashtags. But I've asked quite a few experts about that. And sorry to disappoint you if that's happened to you. It doesn't really mean much at all. And all of the experts that I've spoken to have said it's actually a little bit kind of random. So don't get too excited about that. If you're doing well in the hashtags on Instagram, I think it's fair to say that that is a result of the fact that you're creating good content that's getting lots of likes, shares and saves. That's really what you're looking to do. But in LinkedIn, it is a little bit more random. And on Facebook, the current advice, and again, I've asked lots of experts on this, is not to bother using them either currently in your Facebook, you know, on your Facebook page, in your groups, on your posts. That's the current advice. As I say, with all of these things, I think it's important that you check it out for yourself. You know, you might be listening to this episode in 6 months' time or 3 months' time, and there might have been some big update or some big change. So please always, if I'm giving you advice specifically, you know, platform-based, do go and check it out for yourself. But at the moment, all the experts I've spoken to, there doesn't seem to be any great value to using any hashtags at all on Facebook. The next thing I want to talk about is how do you find the hashtags that your ideal clients are engaging with? Now, I'm going to give you some probably quite disappointing news here about how I do it. How I do it is I do a lot of it manually because I don't just want to take a load of hashtags and cut and paste them. And by the way, that can be a really bad thing to do in terms of the algorithm. More on that in just a second. But I really want to understand how my ideal clients and customers are using those hashtags. I want to understand what the content is like. I basically want to look at my competitors. So those people who are creating really fantastic content in the hashtags that I want to perform well on, I really want to look at that content. Like, what are the captions like? What are the images like? What are they saying? What kind of points are they making? Because if I'm just using some kind of tool where I'm just cutting and pasting a load of hashtags, then I'm not actually understanding the content. And for me, all of this comes back to great content. I've been using some sort of ninja Instagram strategies, but what's really made the difference on my account, and I've added 500 people to my account last month, and I've been adding like some days 100 a day over the last week or so. And yes, I've used some hashtag tricks and things like that, but the key thing is I've made huge changes. So go and follow me on Instagram, Jan Murray UK, and have a scroll down and you'll see the difference. And what I've been spending the real time on is the content, is thinking about how can I create much more engaging content. I think I was doing a good job of it on stories, but I don't think I was doing such a good job of it on my grid. And since I really started to spend time to look at my competitors, the people who, you know, I would love to have accounts like theirs, what kind of content are they creating? Like, how is it laid out? How are they putting their captions together? Are they using images or photos? Are they using more of an infographic style? So I've been taking a lot of inspiration just by looking at what other people are doing. So if you're just using tools to get hashtags, then you can't do any of that. So I actually do a lot of my hashtag research. I do it manually and I go through and look at it. And although it might take a little bit longer, I think I'm getting much better at results as a result. However, on good authority, I've been told that tools like Hashtagify and WriteTag can be good ones to use. And by the way, I use Planoly to help me with my Instagram planning. I post them organically, or we post them organically, but Planoly can be great to just, I find, just to plan your content and see how things are going to look on your feed, particularly on Instagram. So just to give you an example of how you might go about finding hashtags your ideal clients are engaging with. So something like my media diary and planner, a lot of it is just common sense, really. So somebody who might buy my social media diary and planner is likely to be somebody who's interested in planners, who's interested in stationery, who's interested in content planning, content creation. So I'll basically just get onto Instagram or whatever platform it is, and I'll just start searching and I'll start looking. And, you know, with Instagram in particular, what I'm looking for is not those big million hashtags. I'm looking for the smaller ones where there's maybe just like 5,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 now. So small numbers of posts in that hashtag, because I've got a much better chance of rising to the top of that particular hashtag. So I'm actually just looking, I'm just thinking about it logically. So somebody who might buy my social media diary and planner, what kind of things might they be interested in? What hashtags kind of, you know, I'm just searching, I'm just putting keywords in and searching, and then I'm finding things. And then when I arrive on a hashtag, I'm like, okay, now that hashtag is relevant. Does that content in there look like the kind of content that my clients would engage with, or my customers? Does it feel like on brand for me? So sometimes I might see a hashtag that looks quite good, but when I look at the content, it doesn't feel like it's on brand for me or my products or services. So I do a lot of it manually. You know, the other thing you can do as well is just talk to your ideal customers or clients, or just talk to some of your social media followers, the ones you've got at the moment, and ask them, like, do you follow any particular hashtags? What do you search up? Just have conversations with people. It's a great thing if you're using Instagram stories, for example, to ask that on your stories. I've asked that before, like, what hashtags do you follow? What ones do you look at regularly? What do you search up for? How do you use Twitter when you're searching things? I use Twitter, for example, just like a search engine. So if I'm looking for information on a particular topic, I will literally just type into the search bar and see what comes up, and then I might find relevant hashtags. So it's just thinking about how are your ideal customers or clients using the platform, how are they finding hashtags, and you can take it from there. One last thing I wanted to talk about actually was creating your own hashtag. So obviously, if you're doing something like running an event, or you've got a product like my media diary, so we use things like 2020 media diary, I've been using 2020 planning, 2020 sorted for my event. But you could also create your own hashtag and your own awareness day. And one of my clients, I've talked about her on the podcast before, Kerry Jordan, she's a dog photographer, but she actually created her own awareness day and her own hashtag, which is National Dog Photography Day. It's on July the 26th. And on episode 309, she talks about how she created her own awareness day. She's going to be talking about that at 2020 Sorted, actually, and showing how she actually, you know, got an official awareness day registered and what that's done for her business. I think I'm right in saying she added about 2,000 subscribers and also a lot of social media followers just by creating that hashtag of her own and her own awareness day. One little tip, this is an old episode, actually. So episode 93, going way back in the archives, but I interviewed the Instagram expert, Sarah Tesker, Probably still worth going back to have a listen to that one, actually, because the advice that she shared then quite a few years ago is still really relevant now. But I remember her saying that when you're trying to create your own hashtags, particularly on a platform like Instagram, that the ones that tend to do better are ones that are more to do with an emotion or a mood or a feeling or a movement, or they're more sort of community based. So, for example, some of the ones that I've been using recently have been things like Find Your Flock. So that's more about finding your community, Business Rules for Women, Freelancing Females. That one's a little bit more raunchy, what it says on the tin, Dreamers and Doers, Goal Slayer. So often they're more about, for me, like an attitude or emotion or a state of mind. So you can start your own hashtag and you can encourage other people to use it. That can be a great thing to do. But have a think about what's something that's got a little bit of kick to it, got a bit of bite to it, it's got a bit of emotion, it feels like a movement. You're probably much more likely to get other people to jump on board and start to want to use your hashtag too. So I hope you found that useful. This is a kind of basic intro to hashtags. I'd love to know how you're getting on with this. So as ever, do get in touch with me. My inbox is getting really busy these days. So the best place to connect with me absolutely at the moment is Instagram. So come over and find me at JanMurrayUK. And I have to say as well, I am not an expert on hashtags. I'm an expert on social media strategy and engagement. So there may well be something that you know about, which I didn't know about and haven't shared on this episode. And I would love to know what that is. So hit me up at JanMurrayUK over on Instagram. It's always lovely to hear from you.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.